Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. In just a little bit, I want to talk to you about the subject on the board, strange music. We have visitors with us. We're glad to see you. We hope you come back and stay with us again and again and again. Yesterday, I went to the grocery store, Walmart, went to the back where near the dairy aisle. They had a bakery rack that was discount pies. I purchased a gooseberry pie. It was 80% off. The crust looked pitiful. But I remind you that I've never had a bad pie. And that reminded me of long ago, my mother used to make homemade pies, and she'd roll out the crust and put a little sugar on them and crimp the top after she had put the filling in. And she always put three slashes on the crust, two for steam, and three because she said her mother did it that way. And she also said that if you don't follow the recipe, it would be a recipe of disaster. One of the meekest men in the Bible, Moses, he had a brother named Aaron. He was the high priest of Israel. He had four sons, Eleazar and Ithamar. They was the two youngest. Nadab and Abihu, they were the oldest. They served as priest. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. That's a reading from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. In this very short context, I want to suggest to you that these two men were excited about their worship. And someone asked, why would you think they was excited or sincere? Because by using righteous judgment, John chapter 7, verse 24, God's people did not pick up a censer and put incense up on it unless they were wanting to worship God. And what I am suggesting is Nadab and Abihu had zeal in their regards to their worship. The only problem was they did not worship according to the Lord's instruction. God says what he means and means what he says. In Leviticus, the first chapter, in the first verse, Leviticus chapter 10, in the first verse, the King James uses the word strange fire. I looked this word up in an expository Vines dictionary. The word strange means unusual, unfamiliar to. And the New King James used the word profane fire. That means not sacred or biblical. It's not respectful of religious practice. The verbal meaning is to violate. And to the best of our ability, we don't want to violate the Word of God. The New International Version used the word unauthorized fire. That means not having official permission, forbidden. So the rendering of all these translations, and they're good ones, by the way, support the fact that God says what he means and means what he says. The fire that these boys used was not what God authorized. It was something that God did not command. They acted without authority, and they made their decision to worship God, which is not at all their decision to make, and as a result, they were struck down and died. God struck them down, and this shows each of us that we must respect God and his word for what he says and what he means. We must always treat God as holy and glorify him in our actions. If someone claims to glorify God and not do his will, then would not that glorification be in vain? God is glorified when we do his will, not ours, not man's. This incident makes it crystal clear that God says what he means and means what he says. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Leviticus chapter 3 says, Aaron held his peace. Aaron knew the judgment of his two sons was correct and that God's judgments are never wrong. Nadab and Abihu got what they deserved. They had added to or subtracted from what God commanded and was struck down and died. They had tried to get by with what they carnally felt was right and acceptable, and they was wrong. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11 and consider a factor in God's judgment. Romans chapter 11. Verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which had failed severity. But toward these, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Paul here wants us to consider two things, God's goodness and his severity. And we must respect both of who he is, who his character is. His qualities. Nadab and Abihu failed to do what God said to do. And a lesson that we learn here is that we must worship God according to his desires and not man's. The Apostle Paul wrote, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatsoever we do in word, that's what we say. And whatsoever we do in deed, that's what we practice. And so we need to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We must have authority for all that we say and do. And Paul spoke about music in worship, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Here in Colossians 3:16, the Spirit of God gave a measure of variety to our singing. We can use psalms or hymns or spiritual songs. There's 150 psalms in our Bible that was inspired by God, and they're considered acceptable to use in worship to God. And likewise, we can sing hymns and spiritual songs just as long as they teach the truth. Teaching one another takes place by using singing, not playing. And all of us sing, not just a select few, not just the best singers that, as some religious bodies want to get up and have a special. We're to all sing to the Lord. It's a congregational singing, a joint effort by all of us, all the worshipers. We all have to sing praises to God and teach one another in song. It don't matter if we can't carry a tune in the bucket, as my grandmother Ruth used to say. God commanded each of us to teach one another that we all sing, and not just the best. God authorized singing, not playing, and he wants us to teach one another as we worship him in song. 10 times in our New Testament, the word singing is found in relationship to worship of God. And it's the only example of music we can find in this New Testament. God's blueprint. No verse in the Bible says that we can use a piano or a guitar. And when God's word is silent, we must listen. We must not add to or take away from God's divine word. God said, sing, not to play. Singing with the Spirit and sing with understanding. Sing with meaningful words, wonderful words. Words we sing must teach the truth. And these truthful words help the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And that is impossible to happen if we are teaching and admonishing one another in false doctrine or strange music. Our songs must teach the truth. We must sing the truth. If our Bible heart is filled with Christ's words, we'll sing thankfully to God. We'll sing with the Spirit and we'll sing with understanding. The Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And did we notice in this passage that the instrument that we are supposed to use is the fruit of our lips, and we must be accompanying that with our heart. Our singing must be accompanied by our heart. God tells us under the new and the better law how we are to worship him. John chapter 4 and verse 24 says, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And we didn't see anything in that verse about mechanical instruments. If a mechanical instrument was used under the New Testament law, it would be adding to the word of God. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19 says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy, this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book, God will take his share in the tree of life. In the second book of Samuel, chapter 22 and verse 50 in the Old Testament, the church was prophesied as a singing church. And likewise in Psalm 18, verse 49, for this will I praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord among the heathen and sing praises unto thy name. And then later on in the New Testament, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, it is written, for this cause will I confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. That's Romans chapter 15 and verse 9. Paul said the church is a singing church. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, it says, so how is it, brethren, when we come together, each one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done to edify. So in this short lesson, why should the church not offer strange music? Because God commands us to be a singing church. If our worship is not as God commands, it's a sin. And the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. When our three children were young, they were taught to obey rules. And after they had learned to obey what we had told them, it was all right, it was permissible for them to ask why did we have to do such a thing for their understanding. And likewise, if we go to the scriptures in regards to singing, God reveals at least one reason he wants the church to be a singing church. And that one reason is that with words, we can strengthen each other and strengthen ourselves. In Acts chapter 27, verses 35 and 36, Luke tells the account of Paul's journey to Rome. And they were in a storm in the middle of the sea. And they thought they were going to die. And Paul assured them that they'd be all right and told them to take meat and eat. Verse 35 says, and when he had spoken this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them. And when he had broke it, he began to eat. Then they were all encouraged of good cheer. And they did also take meat and eat. Luke recorded they were all of good cheer. Singing expresses optimism. And how many times have we been down in the dumps about something and maybe sing a song and we could cheer ourselves up? Here in Acts chapter 27 In verse 36, the NIV says, then they were all encouraged. When you're encouraged, you're in good cheer. Now turn with me to James chapter 5 and verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13. James asked, is any among you afflicted or suffering? Let him pray. Is any merry or cheerful? Let him sing psalms or praise. Singing can express optimism and joy, and it can even produce it. Joy instead of sorrow. Positive thinking instead of negative thinking. When Paul was in Philippi, he was put in prison with Silas. And they were beaten and they were chained. In Acts 16, verse 25, we're told they prayed and they sang praises to God. Ask yourself, do you think they was happy because they was put in there? Probably not. Were they just feeling good while they were singing? Not hardly. But when they sang, it produced optimism. It strengthened their spirit. They were looking upward and forward beyond this world. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Do we remember an upper room? Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. Jesus sang a hymn. Turn with me there. Matthew 26 and verse 30. Let's go back to verse 14 through 16. Judas agrees to the chief priest that he was going to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So Jesus knew this at that time of the betrayal. It had already taken place. It was about to happen. Verse 17. Through 21, they had eaten the Passover feast. Verse 22, they were all sorrowful because Jesus told them that one of them would betray him. And likewise, Jesus was sorrowful for this also. Verse 26, Jesus established his Holy Supper when he said, this is my body. And then in verse 30, Matthew 26, verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So by singing, this produced optimism and joy, strength and courage, confidence, and even happiness. We walk by faith, not by sight. Paul said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done to edify. Colossians 3:16 says, teach and admonish. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And we didn't hear anything there in that verse about playing an instrument. Our singing to God is not strange music. It's beautiful music. It's heartfelt music. Our singing ought not to ever be taken lightly. Singing is just as important as any of the other four acts of worshiping to God that we are commanded to do on each first day of the week. If you're a Christian, here today we each have a responsibility to understand what we sing and the responsibility to teach and admonish one another according to truth when we sing. And never, we must never be found in unscriptural, strange music when we worship God. And to our best ability, let each of us sing decently and in order. God said what he meant, and meant what he said about strange fire in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. And likewise, says what he means and means what he says about strange music, unauthorized music. Every text in our New Testament speaks about worshiping God in song. Not a one of them says play. There's 10 passages in the New Testament. First one is in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30. And when he had sung a song, when he had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Mark 14, verse 26 is a parallel passage to that passage in Matthew, says the very same thing. The third one would be in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And Romans chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, and be not drunk with wine, wherein with excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren in the midst of the church, while I sing praise unto thee. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And one last one, James chapter 5 and verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Singing is a most beautiful expression of the worship that we have to give to the God our Father. And let each one of us strive to make us as much pleasing as we can to our Master and edify one another in psalm and spiritual songs. Mechanical instruments and music is strange music. It's unauthorized music. It's profane music. And anyone who disagrees with what the Bible plainly teaches about the act of worship, about this act of worship to God, is offering strange music to God. It is not offering what he has commanded. May our worship be according to the will of God. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciple. May each of us here at Van Street, may each of our worship be according to the plan of God, and may we always be setting our ideas and likes aside and seek to obey God's instructions. Help each of us teach one another the truth of God's word in our song service to God. As we ponder this lesson of Nadab and Abihu, they were a very important part of the Old Testament. The Old Testament has been fulfilled and replaced by a better and a new one, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And when we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, it was written for our learning, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The character of God has not changed in that time from old to new, and it never will. And that's a fundamental truth. Is God holy here today in your sight? If he's not, we encourage you to do whatever it takes to change that. A year ago today, March the 5th, I had a good friend. She passed away. She was 101 years old. One day as we sat at the kitchen table talking, I made a promise to her that if I would outlive her, I would be sure to say something at her funeral. And the night before that occasion, I laid in my bed awake that night, thinking about God and paradise and what Helen would want me to say at her funeral. And I come up with 17 words. She would want me to say that I love you and thank you, and if you miss heaven, you just missed all there is. And then I went and sat down. If anyone here today has yet to obey the gospel of Christ, we encourage you now at this time to come to the free waters. Come to God by believing, repenting of your sins, confessing Christ as the Son of God, and being baptized. If you owe him some other duty, you need prayer of the church, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing the song.